I get a chance to answer them all with the time that's here and knowing that folks are a little bit down with the illnesses and things like that. But I'm going to try to answer as many as we have time to, and then we'll go ahead and quit after that. Take your Bibles and turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Let me get my mic. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, anybody that was here back when we did all that work on that church, what was the hardest thing to you about the work? Anybody? What was the hardest thing about the work? And I'll tell you what my hardest part was, dealing with contractors that wanted to smoke on the property, that wanted to use foul language on the property, that wanted to do things and use things that were not to what I requested. And then I had to go and tell them to take it all out. And they didn't like me a whole lot. But I said, you know, this is what I asked. And I'm kind of meticulous. For instance, we had gold on the door handles there, and they put silver screws on there, and I wanted gold. And they said, well, they're screws. I said, but they're not gold screws. I want gold screws because gold screws come with it, not silver screws. And they just thought I was just the meanest guy since the Grinch who stole Christmas, amen. But I was fine. Yes, Andrea? we found some surprises around the building. All throughout the top of the building, they had extension cords. And they had modular buildings out in the back. And all the modulars were fueled by extension cords. And the extension cords were up above burnt. And it was just by the grace of God, they didn't have they did have a fire. And they had a fire once before. And they had holes in the bottom of the doors where the extension cords went outside. And I thought, really? 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 Amen. We found a lot of surprises. Yes? The grease in the kitchen. You know, we had to put, how many of y'all are familiar with that coating called kilns? I think we had to use about 6 coats of that in there just to get. We washed the walls first and washed them and scrubbed them and scrubbed them. Then we put that on there, and the grease kept bleeding through and it kept bleeding through. And some folks came and got sick here the first service that we had in here before we actually bought the building. And so it was an experience. Any other experiences you had, hair-raising experiences that? Yes, Sarah? Yes, we had to take all the carpeting out, and we had to scrape the floors down and get one of those buffing machines that you saw some of the men using and get it all down so we could get it all leveled and even. We built this platform out some, so it was quite a sight to see. And you saw me on my hands and knees scrubbing. It was a difficult time. Yes, Annette?
I remember I was scrubbing the outside of the fence. It was horrible trying to get that up because there was so much stones and horrible.
I remember that. The best part about that was when we got to get the sledgehammers on that wall out there and take our frustrations out on the wall out there and knock it all down with sledgehammers. And so I said, anybody got frustrations, bring it. Bring your sledgehammer. We're going to knock that wall down. We got a chance to beat that wall down and beat that shed up out back.
And that wooden thing that was in the back.
Yes, ma'am.
And all the guys were swinging the hand. That was fun to watch, but all of a sudden it just like collapsed.
Getting the frustrations out, just beat it up, amen. It took a long time. 2007, we bought the building, and 2009, we actually moved in. A lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice, and I appreciate what people did. And my heart, just looking at that again, you know, I was in tears all over again, just thinking about all we went through with that process and the hardships that we went through to get it. But, I mean, God bless, and I'm excited that he did. So hopefully by next week we'll try to work out the bugs and get a chance to watch the rest of that. Anybody else had any hair-raising experiences? Yes, Gregory?
Since I was 4 years old back then, the hardest thing was cleaning the wood.
Clean the wood of the pew. Amen. Amen. It was something back then. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read this verse, and then we're going to try to answer some of the questions that I've been asked down through the years in regards to tithing. I've got another one out of Malachi 3:8. I don't think we'll get to that one tonight, so we'll table that one. But we will come to that. I may get a chance to just speak on it just for a brief moment, but not to get in depth in that. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. And if you're able, let's go ahead and stand and read the verses 9 and 10. 9 and 10, and then we'll answer some of these questions. Now, when it comes to the tithe, I want you to keep one word in your mind. And that word would be practical. Practical. Keep tithing practical. Don't try to make it mystical. Don't try to make it, just be practical about some of the scenarios. You'll find it all come together. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Let's read that together. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as we try to field some of the questions that have been handed down and answered over the years, God, and I pray they'll make sense to us and that we might go home with a greater understanding about the tithe. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. As you heard earlier this morning, the tithe is on the gross and not the net pay that we have. And again, why you say, preacher, why you say that? The Bible says it's the first fruits here. And he says that you should honor him with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And if you think about it, is God greater than Uncle Sam? Yes. Uncle Sam takes his. God asks for his. I mean, think about that. Uncle Sam is not going to ask you whether you want to give it up or not. They're just going to take it from you, whether you like it or not. God says, you know what? I'm going to put it out there and say, this is what I want you to do. And it's going to be up to you to do it. But Uncle Sam doesn't ask you a question. And so if he can do that, God requires and would ask greater from him because he's Almighty God. First question that I've got on my sheet here. That's raised. Again, keeping it practical. Amen. I have an inheritance. Do I tithe on my inheritance? And what would your answer be to that? Yes. Why would you say yes?
It's income.
It's income,
and you didn't know it was coming, but it's still an income.
Is Uncle Sam going to tax it?
Yes.
So if Uncle Sam's going to tax it, guess what? God says, give me some too. Yes, sir?
Increase.
The first fruits of all thy increase. So I've been financially increased. And this is a good practical rule of thumb. Anytime I get a financial increase, it's subject to the tithe. Anytime I get a financial income, it's subject to the tithe. Why? It's income that I didn't have before, and God has increased me, and so I should tithe. And so the first question, I have an inheritance. Whether it's a will or whether it's a life insurance or whatever it is, then I should tithe from that. Here's another one. I'm not a member anywhere. Should I tithe at the church? What would your answer be? Why should I tithe at that church? You are tithing to God. But if I'm not a member of that church, but I attend that church all the time, should I tithe at that church? You tithing to God. That's correct. Yeah, Rodney?
Because you're hearing the word of God from the pastor.
Keep it practical. If I go into the restaurant and eat, should I pay the restaurant? I got fed. I should pay. And so I may not be a member, but guess what? I'm getting fed the word of God. And so I should still tithe. Now, you should be a member, too. But if you're not a member, you still should tithe. You know, why be wrong on two accounts? I should be wrong on one. Amen. So I should tithe. Amen. Here's another question. And this one, I had to chuckle at this one. I earned some illegal money. Should I tithe on my illegal money that I increased? Now, what the illegal money was is not known. But I put down whether it's gambling, whether I worked at a bar, whether I was a stripper at a nightclub, whether I sold drugs, it's dirty money. Should I tithe on the dirty money? Gregory?
No, because
you stole it from somebody else. Well, they didn't steal it. They earned it.
They earned it wrongly.
Okay, Gregory says, no. Anybody else? What? Should I tithe? Yes, Joshua?
No, because it's sin.
Because it's sin. Amen. Should I tithe off the dirty money? Terrell?
No, because it's not your money.
Well, it is your money. Now, let me ask y'all the simple, yes, Diana? Keep it practical. It's still an increase. Okay? Now, by the way, you may have money in your pocket that's drug money. Did you know that? It may have come through drug channels. You may have prostitution money in your pocket. Did you know that? You may have bootlegging money in your pocket. You may have hitman money in your pocket. Somebody paid off a hitman, and you may have that money. Why? The money is recirculated. And yes, they make new bills, but that money is still there. So, again, it goes right back to the previous point. Why be wrong on two accounts? I got bad money, but then I didn't tithe on top of that. So now I'm wrong on two accounts. Amen. It's an increase, and so I should tithe. Amen. By the way, a lot of people come to Christ, and they have shady occupations. And am I going to tell them don't tithe because you got a shady occupation? No, I'm going to preach the word of God and have God deal with their heart, and sooner or later they'll get a right occupation. But I'm not going to tell them you don't tithe when that's their occupation at that given point in time. It's still an increase. Keep it practical. First fruits of all thine increase. So it matters not if it's dirty money or shady money or not. It's money that's increased, and God should get his share. And hopefully God will work in that person's heart eventually, and they'll come out of that profession in which they do. Amen. And by the way, all monies can be used for good or bad. Again, the principle here is first fruits of all thine increase. Here's another one here. I sold a house or car. Do I tithe off of the profit that I made on the house or the car? Yes. What is it? It's increase. It's increase. You say, but I didn't make a lot of money. Did you make some money? All right. Increase. Increase. Here's another one that I was asked. I don't have a job and all I get is government assistance. Do I tithe? What's the practical reason again? It's an increase. It's an increase. I get alimony and child support. Do I tithe off of the alimony and the child support? Why? It's an increase. I'm on welfare. Do I tithe? Yes, it's an increase. I have a bonus or raise. Do I tithe off the bonus or the raise? Yes. Why? It's an increase. I have retirements, IRAs, CDs, etc. Do I tithe off of the increase? If there's an increase, yes. If there's an increase, yes. If I, normally it's back there, you don't mess with it. But when you pull it out, guess what? Hey, I'm going to tithe off of that because it's money that I now am getting increased on. Do I have to tithe every time I come to church?
Yes.
Joshua said, yes, what you say, sister?
I said, you have an increase.
If I have an increase. If I get an increase every time I come to church, guess what? Every time I come to church, I should tithe. Amen? Now, that doesn't apply to most people. Most folks get paid once a week or twice a week or, you know, something like that. But I don't have to tithe every time I come to church. Now, can I give every time I come to church?
Yes.
Yes, I can give every time I come. Why? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. Amen. I cannot seem to afford my tithe. Can I tithe in installments?
No.
Why not? Why can't I tithe in installments? Supposed to give the first fruits? Amen. My question to the individual was this. Did you get paid in installments? You know what they said? No. I said, so why are you going to tithe in installments? If you didn't get paid in installments, why are you going to tithe? You know, if your pay comes in installments, then you tithe each time one of those installments comes in. But if you did not get paid in installments, guess what? You tithe on the increase. Now, what's the principle again? It's an increase. Now, what had happened to this individual is that they were living beyond their means. And because they were living beyond their means, they could not tithe. And because they couldn't tithe, they say, well, what about just pay installments? Now, what's going to happen to that eventually? Katie?
They're going to forget. Did I pay last week? Did I, and then something else is going to happen. And, well, I'll pay it next week. And you just keep putting it off and putting
exactly.
It off. Exactly. And you don't tithe at all.
And I dig myself into a deeper hole. And now the end is worse than the beginning. Yes, Diana? They did have some of those. Amen. And one of the things that you want to get in a practice of doing is doing it first. Don't put it off. Don't get involved in something. Just do it right off the bat. Take it off. Hide it to the side. This is God's. And don't even get into bothering with it, because sooner or later you're going to bother with it, and it's going to be too late. And you got to spend it on something that you like or that you think you need. And there it goes. Amen. I don't pay it in installments. Amen. You'll always be tempted to rob God and get yourself into trouble if you try and do it in installments. Here's one. Can I not pay my mission so I can pay my tithe, or can I take my tithes out of my missions?
They're different.
It's two total different pots of money. Tithe is tithe. Missions is missions. Yes, Caroline? Okay. Yes. No, when I say put it aside, I mean to the next time where I go to church. To Sunday, right. No, if you put it to the side and you look in your pocketbook and you say, man, that's been there for a couple of weeks here. I think I need to spend that. No. No, you clearly mark it. You put it in your envelope. You put it to the side to the next opportunity when you get to church. Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. If you get paid every 2 weeks, that's different. But if it's weekly, then, of course, I'll have something to give each time. Amen. So the missions, do I take from the missions and to pay my tithe, or I can't afford my mission, I can't afford my tithe, and since missions is voluntary, I'll just take from my missions to pay my tithe. Diana? Faith promise. Right.
Mm-hmm.
God always pays, always provides. And again, keep in mind, they're totally separate. Missions is missions, tithe is tithe. They're, you cannot take from one to pay the other, because tithing is tithing. Tithing comes before missions anyway. So my tithing's got to be done first. And then once my tithing is done, the missions is above that. So that tithing's got to be accomplished prior to that. So keep that in mind as well in that. When it comes to the missions, you cannot take that. You may have to readjust your financial priorities or your obligations, but you pay your tithe and you give missions. Okay, so tithing, that's a debt that I owe. Here's another one. I found some money on the street. Do I have to tithe on that? It's an increase. I get an allowance from my parents. Do I have to increase, or do I have to give tithe on that increase? Yes. Yes. Amen. here's one. I lost my job and I'm on unemployment. The check won't cover all my bills. Do I still tithe?
Yes.
Why? It's an increase. Now, by the way, that's actually a decrease. Do I pay the same tithe that I paid before I lost my job? The same? Do I pay the same amount that I paid beforehand? No. What amount am I paying from? The unemployment amount. Okay, now the problem with that, then, the individual said, I'm paying this, I'm getting unemployment, but it's not covering my bills and I can't afford to tithe. What counsel can you give to that individual? Diana, well, yeah, trust God, amen. Supply all your needs. Go back to Malachi, and God says it this way, Malachi chapter 3. And this is where a lot of Christians bite off more than they can chew, so to speak. They don't want to step out and trust God with this part. And notice what he says in Malachi 3 and verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes, where? Into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And what? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, bring it in and prove me and see if I don't make what you've got left go further than you thought it ever could go, and you won't have to worry about that. Many folks get afraid, and they say, well, if I do that, then I won't make ends meet. Well, if you don't do that, you'll never see God work. Can I get amen? Hey, folks, when it came to this building, guess what? Somebody had to step out on the limb and sign the paper saying that we were going to come up with $100,000. And guess who that somebody was? Me. And then I had to come to you and sell you on the fact that God was leading me to do that. And some of y'all looked at me like, you going down with the Titanic, buddy. This ain't going to work. But somebody had to say, I'm going to prove God. If I'm thoroughly convinced that God wants me to do this, I'm going to step out there and God, one way or another, it's going to happen. People are going to get involved, or you're going to do something miraculous. Now, both happened. God did something miraculous and people got involved. We got up to $75,000 that we had collected. But then we still needed $25,000 more. And then you saw on the video there, it was Thursday and we closed on Monday and we were $25,000 short. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know many places where I can get $25,000 on Friday. Because nothing is open on Saturdays that's going to give me $25,000. And Monday, I've got to go sit down with the people and discuss this $100,000 that I'm supposed to be bringing in here. And I don't have it. You talk about panic. I said, Lord, you led me. I got peace that you did. But Lord, I don't see the money. Help. Yes, help. And guess what? I got that phone call that afternoon that $495,000 was coming to buy the building. And I thought, what? This doesn't happen to people like me. This happens to everybody else that I've heard about and read about. But guess what? I had to prove him. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I would not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there should not be room enough to receive it. That's exactly what happened to us. And guess what? Sometimes folks, when they get that unemployment check or they lose their job and then they look at what they have and what this check is and they say, I can't afford to tithe, that's the best time to prove God. Say, God, you said if I did this, you'd bless. And so here you go. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit back and see how you're going to do this. That's what I did. I mean, I was trying to scheme. I told God, I said, I'll sell my house. I said, I'll sell my car. Whatever I need to sell, Lord, I'll sell it to get this $25,000. Like, honey, you want to live in a shack? Amen. She's like, that's all right. Amen. We'll do what we got to do. And God said, you don't have to do any of that. You're proving me here with, saith the Lord, and I'm going to pour out the windows of heaven. And then guess what? Some of y'all don't even know that story. Here we go. We got this building. Amen. And so I lost my job and the unemployment doesn't seem to cover the bills. And my encouragement would be to read Malachi where he says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. We've got to get to the point where we prove God. When Daniel went to the lion's den, did he prove God? Yes, he did. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the oven, the fire, did they prove God? Yes, they did. They proved. Each time they proved God. And so that's the same thing that we would have to do when it comes to that. Here's another one. And I actually went through this one, and I'm away for 2 weeks, 2 months or 3 months or more, but still a member of Shining Light. Do I tie to my home church still? I got saved in 91. I went TDY for 3 months to Italy. in 1992, and I was not at home. Practical. Do I still tie it to my home church? Why? That's where my membership is. But I spent more time at Vincenza Baptist Church in 3 months. Do I still tie to my home church? Why? Increase. Now let me put it, give you a practical way to understand that. The 3 months that I was in Vincenza, I still had a house in Belgium. Guess what I still paid? Rent. Guess what I still paid? Electric. Guess what I still paid? Water. Guess what I still paid? Sewer and trash pickup. But I didn't live there. But guess what? I still had to pay there. Why? That's where my residence was at. So even though I went TDY for 3 months, I still had to tithe back to my home church. Now, did I give an offering at the church in Italy? I sure did. But my tithe went back to my home church. And so even though you may not be here physically, you still tithe here. Hey, Leah Donner still sends her tithe here. Brother Mark Lennart still sends his tithe here. Wilbur still send their tithe here. Until they join a church, they're technically still members here. And they still give their tithe here. And I don't think they would be ashamed for you. I think they would want you to know they're still doing it. They still give their missions. Why? They didn't make a commitment to me. They made a commitment to God. And so they still hold those commitments. Why? Because I'm still a member. And it's practical. If we just look at the practical aspect of it, it's practical. Do I still pay on my house? Yes, I do. I'm a member. I was gone for 3 months, and I thought, well, what do I do? Do I still tithe? And, hey, yes, I'm still a member. And my wife was there with me, too, so nobody was at our house. The dog wasn't even there at that time. Amen. So do I tithe to my home church? Yes, I do. Matters not how long you're away from your home, what length of time. If you're a member of that church, you still are tithing at that church. Where I live is where I pay. Amen. And so that actually happened to me back in 1992 after I got saved. When in doubt, what should I do? Tithe. Tithe. When in doubt on the amount, should I tithe less or more? Why more? Just in case. You can't outgive God. What does Luke 6:38 say? Give and it shall be what? Given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall who? Men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all is be measured to you what? Again. So you can't outgive God. So even if you give more tithe than what you require, guess what? God's still going to give it back to you. So you are in a win-win situation. Now, if you do less than the tithes, you're in a lose-lose situation. Because just like if you don't pay all of your house rent or your bill, what do they say? You still owe. And they come back to collect on that. Amen. So those are some questions. I've got some others here, but I'm not going to get into those. But go to Malachi 3:8. I just want to whet your appetite with something here. We're right there. Amen. Now, notice what it says here. Will the man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Okay, so he lists two categories here. Tithes and offerings. Okay, and I'm not going to finish this tonight, but I'm just going to bring something to your attention. Tithing in the Old Testament was for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work. Okay, and we'll look at that a little bit later. Notice what it says down there in verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that they may meet in where? Mine house. So the tithe there was for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance, and it stayed inside the family of God. Everybody got that? Okay. Offerings, on the other hand, in the Old Testament were sometimes voluntary and sometimes not. It was primarily used for the manufacturing of more and the meeting of needs for the things inside, like we read this morning, Exodus 35. What were they doing? They were manufacturing a tabernacle. And so that wasn't a tithe. That was voluntary. That was an offering. And so if I'm going to be scriptural, then I've got to do the tithe first and then any kind of offering, both of which stay inside the family of God. Okay? Keeping with the principle in the Old Testament, tithing in the New Testament was for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work and was primarily responsible for the things inside the family of God as well. Okay, y'all with me? So we got the Old Testament, Malachi. You've got the tithes was for the ministry and the maintenance and the ministers of God. But then you had the offerings, which was to manufacture more and to build things and to meet needs and was normally voluntary. Now we come into the New Testament, and the tithe is for the same thing, for the ministers of the ministry and the ministry and the maintenance of God's house, okay? Although it was a little different than what we have now. And it was still primarily on the inside of the family of God. Then you had the offerings in the New Testament. The New Testament offerings was for manufacturing of more and meeting needs. Although, like I say, the facilities like we have today are not what they had back then. And those still stayed inside the family of God. And we'll look at these references later on. I've got references to all these. So I've got Old Testament ministers, maintenance, and ministry tithes. Then I've got offerings that manufactures more. Come into the New Testament, and I've got ministry, I've got maintenance, and I've got ministers that need to be paid out of the tithe. But then I also have this thing called offerings that I give that normally stays in the family of God. On both tithes and offerings in the Old Testament, tithes and offerings in the New Testament, they both stay in the family of God. Everybody follow me so far? Okay? But then I've got another issue. What issue did I leave out? Missions. The Old Testament was never responsible for evangelizing the world. So that financial requirement did not exist. But now coming to the Old Testament, I still have my tithes that exist. I still have my offerings, which exist. And both are inside the family of God. Now, where does my missions go? Outside the family of God. So can I take my New Testament offering and apply it to Malachi 3:8? Of emissions? No. Because both of these offerings and tithes stayed inside the family of God. New Testament, the offering stayed inside the family of God. Missions went where? Outside the family of God. And so those are some things that we're going to discuss here, and I want to show you the scripture references on these, because the New Testament had the obligation and the opportunity to give more than the Old Testament did with the fact of missions. Now, how much you give to missions depends on you. How much you give of offerings depends on you. By the way, when they went to go get the body of Jesus Christ, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus bought spices to embalm Christ's body. You know what that was? An offering. Remember when they had the 4,000 people out there and they didn't have any food? There was a lad there. Guess what the lad gave? The fish and the loaves. Guess what that was? An offering. I have people here that give me gift cards that buy things. When you guys chip in and buy things for me and my family, guess what? That's an offering. It's not your tithes. It's staying inside the family of God, but it's not missions because missions goes outside. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I wanted to just make that clear in Malachi 3:8 when he says tithes and offerings. He said, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. They didn't have the concept of mission. So that didn't exist. That didn't exist until New Testament times. So I cannot say that my Old Testament offering is a New Testament mission because that didn't exist. And it's two totally separate things. I've got three requirements in the New Testament. And I really only had two in the Old Testament. Tithe and an offering of some sort. And they had many, trust me. The New Testament, I've got my tithes, I've got my offerings, both of which stay in the family of God, but then I've got my missions that goes outside to evangelize, which the Old Testament saints were never told to do. And again, we'll look at those references coming up here in the next week or two. But I just wanted to give you something to kind of chew on and think about, because we've got a lot of offerings here in the Bible that the Bible talks about, and then we've got one ourselves with the sacrificial giving. Now, it's not going to be your missions, but it will be for the manufacturing of more, just like they did here. It is going to be for meeting needs, just like they did here. So keep those things in mind as we discuss this and look at this. And just want to make sure that you understand what this is all about, what God is doing, how we're doing this. And so you can have a sense of confidence when people ask you why you give and give you scriptural references as to why you give. Because the folks will think you're crazy. My tax guy always think I'm crazy. They say, I can't believe you gave all that money. Nobody gives like that. I'm glad I'm not nobody. I'm glad I'm somebody. Amen. Because, hey, they don't expect Christians to give. But guess what? God blesses. God blesses. Amen. And he always has, always will. Amen. So keep praying about the tithe messages. And I do pray that more and more information will come out that maybe you've been asking or you've been mulling over in your mind, your heart. We'll pick up next Sunday with the the definition of the tithe or the defense of the tithe. And we're going to go back in the Old Testament and march you through the New Testament so that you can have a sense of understanding as to why we do what we do. And you can biblically defend it when somebody asks you, because you want to be able to defend it from the Word of God and not from your own counsel, your own reasoning, because people will laugh you to scorn. They won't laugh you to scorn even when you give them Bible. Amen. But at least you know in your heart that you're doing right. Amen. All right, praise God. Well, we'll go ahead and stand and get dismissed with that, amen. But keep all those things in your mind and on your hearts, amen. I do trust that I maybe answered a question or two that you may have had in the back of your mind or the back of your heart. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I didn't get any teaching on tithing. The only teaching I got was do it. Do it. And, you know, of course, I'm like, well, God said to do it, amen. I'm going to do it, amen. But I didn't, the stuff that y'all just heard, this Sunday morning, I didn't hear any of that. And I had to go find all that stuff out on my own. What y'all just heard tonight, I had to find that out on my own. All of that, amen. So y'all are actually getting blessed by getting fed some things that you can actually put to use and practice in your own minds and your own hearts. And I tell you, you can actually go and help somebody else with that as well. Amen. All right. Brother Roger, why don't you come on up here?